Morning, church family. Excellent. Kent Madigan's my name, and I'm one of the pastors, and really glad to be here with you this morning. I'm just going to pray, if you would bow your heads with me and join me in that. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the life that we have in you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father, for your Son, who was sacrificed on our behalf. He lived the life we should have lived and died in our place for our sin and rose again to newness of life that we would have life, full, meaningful, abundant life in him. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and indwelling, for comforting and guiding. We bless you and we honor you and we praise you and we thank you that because of this good news, we have the best to bring to a broken and lost world. And Father, today as we look at missions and what's happening through our church family and through our family of churches across this nation, we give you praise, glory, and honor as your commission is being fulfilled in our world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. As Pastor Matthew had said, this morning we are going to be doing a missions moment Sunday where we're going to be highlighting some of what's happening with regards to missions both around the world and here in Abbotsford that our church is participating in. Jesus said as he was finishing up his ministry on earth, "Go, therefore," this is instruction to his disciples, "go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always to the end of the age." And that's a beautiful thing that Jesus said to his people. And what is incredible is that when the Spirit of God came, they did exactly that. And the reason you and I are in this building celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is because they were faithful to do what Jesus asked them to do. And as we talk about missions this morning, we in turn have opportunity to continue in the line that we have been called to by also going and making disciples of all nations. Over the past couple of weeks, I've had the privilege as part of the upcoming building campaign and so on, of going through and meeting with some people who've been a part of the Seven Oaks church family for a very long time. And one of the most encouraging things to me that has been for me as they have told the story of God's faithfulness to this church over the decades is how the heartbeat, as Matthew was saying, for missions, for that great commission, beat steadily in this church for all of these years. And I praise the Lord that we are continuing in a legacy that was given to us from the very foundation of Seven Oaks Alliance Church and a great heart and love for missions. One of my portfolios here on staff is to give some oversight and direction to the missions department. And so I have spent a significant amount of time trying to figure out exactly what that looks like. Again, to hear the stories of the great ingenuity and the great fondness with which missions fests, week-long missions fests were remembered, and how at one point in our history we had over 50 missionaries that were sent from this church and put on the field. And still today, we have many, many Alliance, Christian Missionary Alliance international workers who call Seven Oaks Alliance Church their home, and we see them and they come back from time to time. And it's been wonderful. It's been a great legacy, and I'm glad to be a part of it. But there's been some shifts. There's been some changes in the past decade, both from our National Ministry Center, our denominational head office with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and then just in culture and so on, that have changed some things in the way we do things and highlight missions around here. Formerly, the National Ministry Center provided the theme for the week-long Missions Fest, and they provided the literature, and they made sure workers got to each of the churches, and it was this big thing that kind of came from the head office. But then as culture changed and that sort of started in their thinking to feel a bit more corporate and sort of top-heavy and top-down, they wanted to make missions feel less like a brand and more like a relational kind of interaction where churches and international workers or missionaries actually had more dialogue and more time together and more face-to-face time, so they felt more connected. So in the early days, when they were making the jump, the National Ministry Center, from a centralized deal from the denomination where they put it out to the churches, they were moving from there to saying, okay, now you churches, you kind of find partners with the alliance and try to make that happen. And they gave us a bit of instruction, but it was a little bit bumpy, as things can be when you make such big shifts. It was during this period then that Seven Oaks Alliance, the staff and elders, came up with great creative ingenuity and passion to launch an initiative that actually started right here in this church with CNMA partners and CNMA missionaries on foreign fields and a local church in that field. So we had kind of this triangle thing going. What the National Ministry Center was trying to do, Seven Oaks, I'm proud to say, with their staff and elders, came up with something better. Don't tell anyone I said that. And so they had this kind of triangle. They had the foreign field with a local church pastor, and they had an international worker and Seven Oaks. And we were working very closely and very well with these, and we call these international partnerships, which became known to us as a church family as Impart. And they were strategic, and they were important, and relationships were being built, and passion was being developed. And these partnerships with local churches started in Cuba, where we had a local church and an international worker in our church, and it was working very well. Many trips to the islands were being made. Relationships were being developed. That very thing was starting to happen, where we felt like we had this really close connection with a local ministry in a foreign country and the workers that were in that country. In time, the same thing started to happen in Cambodia. There was opportunity to start an Impart ministry there, an international ministry partnership there. And so it went to Cambodia, and trips were made to Cambodia as well. And relationships were formed, an international worker there. And great impact was being made. It was incredible. Impart was great. And while we were trucking along with Impart, the denomination started to catch up. They went, hey, this is a good idea. And they started to form what was called Seamless Links. And Seamless Links started, and as a church, we came along with that as coming under the denominational head. And it's a great thing where we have these Seamless Link partnerships in various places. And the denomination is encouraging everyone to have these Seamless Link partners. And what was cool about this is then we have now, at this moment, we have four Seamless Link partners through the National Ministry Center. And amazingly, Gaylene Warden is in Cuba, so there's that connection. And then we also have Kang and Amy and the Enns family in Cambodia, so there was that connection. And now we also have the Martins family who are serving in Mexico. Now, as these things started to flow together, Impart's working really well, and Seamless Link's now coming on the scene as the National Ministry Center kind of comes together, and we're signing these partnerships, and this is all happening. As this started to continue, things started to change substantially in the countries in which we were working. The work in Cambodia was starting to naturally happen more through Seamless Link partners than they were through the Impart kind of way. And so that started to kind of close up in that area in the way we were going with Impart, but coming alive in the way that it was trucking along with the Seamless Link partner. And the work in Cuba, as you know, started to evolve and change from what it was originally designed to be, with a local church and an international worker in Seven Oaks. And when the local church pastor was elected their president of the denomination, So now our local church pastor is the president, and we move from a local church to being a partner with the whole nation of Cuba. That's explosive growth, which is fantastic. But this means that our impart idea and mandate shifted. And so we started to support in the national initiative, and you've heard about this over the years. So when I got here and I started to ask about missions, we had Impart Cuba, Impart Cambodia, Seamless Link Cuba, Seamless Link Cambodia, Seamless Link Mexico, as well as 10 global partners, which I'll explain in a minute, as well as several young people going out on missions trips periodically. And then, in addition to that, Impart Cambodia and Cuba were different than the original mandate, and we hadn't totally figured out what exactly we were going to do with all of that. So frankly, when someone said missions, I always needed to get clarification about what we were talking about, because I had no idea, even though I was supposed to be in charge. It made me think I should have asked more questions in the interview. And so after a couple months of digging and trying to get my head around what we were talking about when we were talking about missions and talking to a number of people who have done amazing things and incredible work through Impart and Seamless Link and Global Partners and short-term missions, I felt like, okay, I think I know what's going on. I think. Unless something else pops up. And after all the digging, came together and started to form a team of people. And so now we actually have a missions committee. And you don't have to stand up, but just so you know their names. Greg Cross, Dave and Flora McCarthy, Leslie Weiss, Brenda Rolleman, Robbie Jeffrey, Bert Dirksen, and myself have started to meet and started to figure out what do we do with all of these moving pieces, all of the things that are changing. And honestly, we started to wrestle with the question, if we don't know exactly what we're talking about when we talk about missions, do you? And we felt that it's important that we have an understanding and clarity about what's going on with missions. And so we started to talk about how do we simplify this, and how do we communicate this effectively, and how do we keep this in front of our people so that this important work of making disciples both home and around the world continues with great passion and great fervency and great clarity. So, here's what we have moved towards. In discussion with our Seamless Link partners, particularly in Cuba, and it was already shifting this way in Cambodia, we came to understand that really the heartbeat for Impart could be realized through the Seamless Link partners. That really we felt at a time that God had called us to those places and to those people, and regardless of what name we put on it, we could still fulfill the mandate of reaching out to those people, and we could actually effectively do that through our Seamless Link partners. So we have are going to continue the heartbeat and the work of Impart through the Seamless Link partner, but we will no longer be using the language of Impart. It's still going to be there. It's still going to be working. It's still going to be happening. But in order to bring clarity so we don't have to distinguish between Impart Cuba, Seamless Link Cuba, we will just work through our Seamless Link partner, Galen Warden, in Cuba with the scene that's going on, that the work that God has started there, and the explosive of that's going on there. Now, to do this, we needed to kind of tie up some loose ends there on their end and on our end, so that we could make sure that the work is being accomplished in what God has called us to do. So, in order to do that, we did send a significant amount of money. We sent $10,000 down to Cuba to their National Ministry Center, so that they could put that in their evangelism budget and make sure that the work that we had partnered with is continuing to go on. And we sent a letter to the president explaining how the changes were taking place and how we were listening to the Spirit as to how we could best serve Cuba, because we needed to make the shifts and work better through our Seamless Link partner and covenant. So that's happened. Praise the Lord. The next thing that we're going to do that I'm extremely excited about is we are committed to going to Cuba every 2 years to visit our Seamless Link partner. It's one of the bridging things that will take place as we remove the language of import and move towards seamless link partnership in Cuba, is we are taking a trip down there in the late fall, end of October, early November, and it'll have two parts to this trip. One part will be working with Gaylene Warden in her women's ministry, developing discerning hearts, a ministry that you're familiar with. And so we'll be looking for some ladies to go and help and partner and do some work mentoring with that. And then the second part, and this is more of the bridging part from the seamless link, import to seamless link, is in order for the CNMA to become legitimate in the country of Cuba, they need to have a national ministry center building finished. And right now, in Pastor Yuel's home, he's the president, they have part of this structure complete. But they need the rest of this structure complete in order for them to gain legitimacy with the government of Cuba. And so what we're looking to do in early November, and we're actually partnering with Dawson Creek. We're working on a partnership with Dawson Creek Alliance Church and The River, which is an Alliance Church in Squamish, to help make the funds available to get this thing done, is when we finish 2016 this year, that structure will be complete, and they will be able then, as a national church of Cuba, to get legitimacy with the government of Cuba, and that will allow them to explode in growth. By making things available in the country that aren't available to them now, that will open doors for them that aren't open to them now. And so we just see this as a beautiful culmination of what God has done from moving to a local church to the national church to making this church legitimate and our partnership being able to continue. I think this is very cool. You should be far more excited about this than you seem to be, except for Barry. Yeah. And we are excited. And if you are interested in coming on this trip in the end of the year, there are some initial information forms that are available that you can get at the guest services center out the door at the back there if you want to find out more information about dates and costs and all of those kind of things. But God is doing an incredible thing in missions, and I love how he's bringing this together and how we're going to be able to continue our relationship through Seamless Link partners. So in all of this, then we've now moved from kind of a confusing language, I think, to something that is hopefully very understandable. And we now have kind of three levels of missions that take place through Seven Oaks Alliance Church. One is with the Seamless Link Partners, and we're going to hear from Kang here in a moment about what God's doing in their life and in their work. The second, and that's done through the Christian Missionary Alliance. That's part of our denomination. When you give to the Global Advance Fund, that helps to support our international workers like Kang and Amy and the Martins and Gaylene Warden. But then we also have folks who've been called to ministry, called to mission, called to give their life away in other parts of the world outside of the Christian Missionary Alliance. But they are part of us. They're part of our church family. And we have 10 of those folks who've been raised up in our seats, consider this their church home. And so we refer to those folks as global partners. And we have various amounts of support that we do with them. And then the third level is local partnerships, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. All of that to say, we're very excited about where God is taking us, where he's leading us, how he's called us in the past, and where he's taking us in the future. And we are believing God for so much more of what only he can do in winning lost people to himself and seeing the Great Commission fulfilled. But in order to hopefully bring even more clarity to you, I do want to invite Kang Nguyen. Did I say that right? Good. I said it fast. To the stage, our Seamless Link partner from Cambodia, to share with us, Kang and Amy, actually, your wife's coming as well, to share with us what is happening in their world as they are on home assignment right now. So please welcome them to the stage.
Thank you, Pastor Ken. Thanks for family, church, Seven Oaks. We love you, and we can see that your love among us. And this morning, I just want to update a little bit what's happening in our life. One verse I want to use this morning is in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God will say that I look for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. So I want to use this word, this sentence to say that right now our ministry is stand in the gap. God wants to use us to build his church and then stand in the gap in between this Canadian society and the Cambodian society, especially the Vietnamese that live in Cambodia. Right now, I'm engaged in speaking in the Vietnamese Alliance Church in Burnaby. And every month I speak on two Sundays and two Wednesday prayer meeting at nighttime. And then I also teach Bible in the weekend two times. So total is six times in Burnaby Church. And also in Langley Church, the church that we planned six years ago, before we went to Cambodia. And in Langley Church, I preach there once a month, and also on Sunday. And then also I work in teaching the Bible every Friday night. So my part is like that, because I believe that God will raise the new young generation of the Vietnamese English speaking to engage in the mission. One day we will retire from working as an international worker. And then we want to look at the younger generation will carry the banner, continue to go for God's heartbeat that in the mission field. And so many Vietnamese young people in Canada, they grow up, they learn about God, but they don't have any direction about a mission. And we want to use our time here in God timing. We talk to the younger generation, especially in Langley Church. We have people ready to form a short-term team. As we return to Cambodia, they will join us there. Update a little bit about what happening in last year. One of our students in Cambodia, under our care and serving with us in Cambodia, he's in the second year in the university in engineering. And he was hit by a motorcycle, a dirt bike. And someone stole that dirt bike and then tried to escape it and hit him when he was driving on the side of the road. He got head trauma. And because he got head trauma, and people brought him to the public hospital. At the public hospital, they operate him right away. After the operation, he got infection. It's a kind of like a meningitis, affection of the outer part of his brain. And the video we received from Cambodia, he got convulsion and seizure, and he not knowing who is he. He had unconscious coma. And after that, we called the church in Burnaby, in Langley. The whole church joined with us and prayed for him. And as we pray for him, our colleagues, Martin, another missionary from U.S., brought him to another center, which is a private hospital, but it's a Christian hospital, Jeremiah Hope, that I used to connect with them. And then the brain surgeon, he did a second operation. And after he did the second operation, he did a third operation. So he got through three brain operations to drain all the blood down. But we continue to pray here in Canada. We pray. And we stand in the gap, continue on his behalf and pray for him. He was a young person in the church with potential to serve God. But then he got hit like that. We never know things happen in our life. And then God did a miracle thing that he got healed and now he's back to normal. That's an amazing thing. And as we have the change of prayer, I can confess in front of you that God listened to our prayer. And we just so thrilled about that. And the church in Langley and Burnaby, they also thrilled because of that good news. So that's about the medical ministry that we still involve in Cambodia. But I want to let my wife, Amy, talk a little bit about her classroom. Amy?
Good morning, everyone. Yes. And I would like to give you an update about our online English class. And our students who are still continuing study in the class. In the last February, in the field in Cambodia, we had a short-term mission team, medical team, that went to Cambodia every year. And in the team, we also have our volunteer English teacher that went there. And I got a very good report back from the team, and also an email writing back from my student there. The team, the teacher, the volunteer teacher, told me that they were so proud of our students because as they went there as a team, as a short-term team, of course, language is kind of one thing that they need to communicate to local people. And our students, I believe that they're ready to help. And they being translators for our the medical team that went back in February. And when I heard about this report, I was very, very happy to hear that now our students, they got the confidence to go out and to help people in what they're learning. And they've been learning, it's not just 1 week or 1 month, but been doing it almost 3 years already. And one of the students wrote an email back to me. She said, "Teacher, I made it." Mm-hmm. And I was so happy, and not even us that recognize how they are growing. They themselves also recognize how much they've been blessing from God and the hard work that they are doing. And please continue to pray for them, because in this year, we will have 3 students graduate from the university. And we're very happy for them. And another good surprise news, even though we are here, but God's works never stop. Even though I have a dream to kind of go back right away since last year and continue our English classroom and computer classroom, however, God's still working amongst his people in Cambodia. Right now, there's one local church that really showing an interest to develop or implement English class in the church. And for me, I was thinking, okay, just probably it's not the right time because I'm still here. I couldn't do much. However, God moved people and the local pastor, he able to manage and arrange the classroom with our volunteer teacher. So right now, please pray for this new class that already started about 1 month ago, that the teachers and the students will continue to come and study and learn God's words together and learn about sharing love together. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And as you listen to us, there's one small upgrade. We asked to stay for 1 year, and God providence for us as we asked to stay. God provide me. I passed the physiotherapy exam in order to get a temporary job 1 year. Besides, that's only 1 year. And then I'm ready to go back there. And God provide that to us, everything we need. So we would just want to acknowledge that and want to give thanks to the Lord. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. pray for you. Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this couple who has a call in their life to serve you in Cambodia. And thank you for the work that they are able to do here as well, reaching out to people who have come to our shores. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to bless them with your provision and protection and passion for your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
So three layers of missions at Seven Oaks: Seamless Link Partners, which we've heard from some, and also Global Partners. Again, those are folks who have been called to go and serve in a variety of missions, including Wycliffe and BC Teen Challenge. And today we're going to hear from Dennis Quinn, who is with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And their mandate is to evangelize boys and girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus and establish them in the Word of God and the local church for Christian living. And so I wanted you to hear from Dennis, who is a part of this. And so, Dennis, if you would take it away.
Thanks so much, Kent. As I first start, I want to publicly appreciate what this church means to us in your support. And there are many folks here who regularly encourage Pauline and I in our ministry. Pauline and I have served with Child Evangelism Fellowship since Matthew was born. 1978. We served in the Toronto area in Ontario, and then we went on to the Maritimes, where we were involved in leadership in the four provinces in the Maritimes. And then for the last 21 years, we've been given leadership here to the ministry in BC. Child Evangelism Fellowship, for those of you who do not know, is a worldwide ministry. We are operating presently in about 195 countries in the world. The last reports we had in, that would be from 2014, just under 20 million children were reached in Bible clubs. So it's quite a large ministry around the world, in every place, small meetings to reach boys and girls, but many meetings to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 18:14, and he'd already given this little parable or this little story of a shepherd who sought for the one lost sheep, leaving the 99 back home enclosed. And at the end of that sharing, and with a child in his arms, he said, "It is not my Heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish." But children do go into eternity without Christ. They do perish. This is literally a mission field on our very doorstep. You know, in BC, less than 10% of all the children in BC have a meaningful relationship to a Bible-believing church. That means that 90% of the children in BC have not heard and likely will not hear that Jesus loves them or her, and that he paid the price for their sins so they could have a relationship with our Father in heaven. That means over 90% of the children here in BC are unchurched and biblically illiterate. Children are very open to the message of God. In fact, in that same passage in Matthew 18, while holding this child in his arms, Jesus said, "Unless you turn," talking to his very disciples, "unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." This openness of children has been labeled the 4:14 window. I think we are kind of mimicking another statement for missions. But this is the 4:14 window that around the world represents an openness to receive and hear the word of God. 4:14 window meaning that children are most responsive to this message of love and forgiveness between the ages of 4 and 14. A poll of Christians has found that 80% of people come to Christ before the age of 14. So you might say, that's why we run Sunday schools and day camps and VBS programs and midweek programs. But still, with all our in-church programming, less than 10% of our neighborhood children are responding. CEF partners with churches to reach these unreached children by carrying the message into the neighborhoods. Neighbors open their homes and backyards and invite the children that their children hang out with and play with. These children attend a Bible club in a safe home environment, taking advantage of friendships that are already established. Children have fun with their friends and they hear God's message of life. Not so long ago, we had one of our clubs fall through here in Abbotsford, a summer club, and Pauline and I said that we would invite the local kids to our home. Now, our kids have grown up, so we were unsure what kind of reception we would have. We walked around the local streets for an hour or so on Saturday, and then on Sunday we did the same, handing out little invitations, talking to parents, talking to kids. On Monday, we were shocked to have over 15 kids show up at our home. Our Christian neighbor was shocked also because she had invited two households to join them at church with a negative response. So she was very surprised to see those very kids attending our club. By the end of the week, we had 26 different kids attend our club in our home. Just, yeah, thank you, Barry. It's nice to have a cheerleader right here. So this lady who had been inviting the children, she said, well, how do I maintain this connection? And so we set her up in a Good News Club, which was basically a winter club, runs 1 hour a week. And she ran that club for about 2-3 years. And she reached those same kids who never darkened the door of a church. Even after they were warmed up and realized that Christians weren't boogeymen, their parents would not let them come to church. But they went to club and they heard this message of Jesus. So right now we're in the middle of transitioning between winter ministry and into our summer ministry. The winter ministry is called Good News Clubs. They're kind of like a mini Sunday school with a Bible lesson, singing, Bible memory, of course lots of fun. We have for a few years been able to hold 4 or 5 clubs after school in Prince George in the local schools. It's very unique here in BC. We have tried knocking on doors here in the southern, in the lower mainland, but to no effect. But in Prince George, there has been a real openness. And these clubs are filled with unchurched kids. Over 90% of the kids who come to our clubs in Prince George have no connection with church at all. And those kids are excited to hear stories from the Bible. For some, this is their church. Parents will let them come to club, but they will not let them go to church. 3 years ago, one of the boys attending a school club received Jesus at the age of 9 years old. He has been growing in his walk with God and really enjoys coming to club every week. It is his only time to hear and learn more about Jesus. A few weeks ago, he opened up to the staff that he was playing an online game that was scary but fun. So everybody checked up on this game, and in conversation with him, it was discovered that this was an occult game targeting children. So many people are praying, and the staff are working with him as he now recognizes the danger of participating in this game. That's part of the struggle, because the parents have no filters on their computers. They don't really care what they're involved in. This last fall, that same boy's brother, now this boy is 12, his brother, 6-year-old, starts to come to our club. And just around Valentine's Day, he too received Jesus as his Savior. These boys are growing up in a broken home. Life is hard. They have lots of fear, lots of hurts, instability, and anger are issues they deal with every day. But God is with them. And they have their regular church, which is at school, after school, in a Good News Club. It really is a privilege to share the good news with boys and girls. You know, with Child Evangelist Fellowship, there's lots of opportunities for people to be involved. And lots of people pray, lots of people give, and we need lots of people who are willing to go, to partner together as a team of people and reach the community for Christ. If you're interested in hearing more about our ministry, we are actually hosting a ministry banquet, next week on the 22nd of April in the Youth Center on April 22nd. I said that. So talk to Pauline or myself about coming if you're interested. We do have a newsletter that's constantly being updated just inside the front doors, right behind the Welcome Center. And there is a little newsletter there and a prayer card there too. If you're interested, please pick those up. Thanks so much.
Thanks, let me pray for you. Let's pray for Dennis. Father, thank you so much for this work. So important to go and make disciples where they're at. And so I just pray a blessing on the summer programs and that they would be incredibly effective for the work in your kingdom. And we would see boys and girls come to faith in you and grow up in you and know you and become disciples who make disciples in Jesus' name. Blessings on Dennis and Pauline as they continue to minister in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have Seamless Link partners, and we have global partners, and we have local partners. And one of the exciting things that is coming up that you've heard a little bit about, Pastor Renee Carter, who is our children's pastor, has been in contact with our schools, and you've heard us talk a little bit about the Adopt-A-School program. Well, we found out this past week that, and actually Renee and I and the person representing the school district are meeting tomorrow. So you can be praying about tomorrow at 1 o'clock as we meet with these folks, where they're actually doing a little bit of what Child Evangelism Fellowship has done, and they're inviting us into their schools. They're inviting us into the public schools. And two schools, Godson and Alexander, where we are going to be talking about the ways in which we can be a blessing to their community. And I love it because Jesus said, go and make disciples. We're doing an Abraham series, and part of the blessing of Abraham is that I will make you a blessing to all nations, that the blessing to Abraham would continue on. And we have an opportunity now to go to places where, as Dennis said, they're not coming to us. We get to go to them, and we get to bring a blessing to them. And the incredible part of this is you can hear from the side of the school district where they're like not just only concerned about the students, although that's primary importance, but also their families. And they're talking about ways in which we can have interaction and relationship and be a blessing not only to the students, but to the families that are connected to that as well. So there's going to be more information about the Adopt-A-School program coming, and there's going to be more opportunity for you to be involved as a local missionary to go and make disciples right here in the city of Abbotsford in some of the most needy schools, and I think that is incredibly exciting as well. So there will be a call to you to go. Because that's the... Okay, yeah, good. Clap. Woo! I love this church. You guys clap a lot. It's that doesn't happen before, so this is good for... Okay. Okay, now stop clapping. We're going long. But thank you. At the end of all of this, it's good to go and bring the good news, but what we're ultimately trying to do is to help people to know Jesus and make them known. We're trying to make disciples, who take the call of Jesus seriously and apply that to every area of their life to obey all that he has commanded us to do. And you will recall on Family Day that we, in faith, filled the baptism tank and asked people to make a step of obedience and be baptized. Well, here today we're going to play a short video of one of the gentlemen who was baptized. And what you're going to hear is a testimony to what the results of missions we hope will be. People who give their life in faith to Christ and whose life is radically changed as they follow in obedience to him. So if we could play the video.
My name is Jonathan Vandermeer. When I was 5, or I think even maybe 4 or 3, you know, I claimed to be a Christian. I got strawberry ice cream for dessert, and it was awesome. I remember the night quite clearly. The relationship I have now with Christ really began when I was 18. I hit 18, and everything that I had learned as a kid suddenly became real because of the way God was acting and teaching me things in my life. Where I was baptized as a baby, I never really considered that to be a substitute, but neither did I consider baptism something I had to do or make a priority. I think in the November of 2015, I had met with Pastor Tim and Kent and at a baptism class, and they had explained to me why, you know, they felt it was important, and I could agree with them. I could see, you know, how it could really have some really important symbolism and that Jesus commanded it be done. But again, I didn't feel at that time that it was important for me to do personally. First Sunday of February, I came to church and the pastors were like, yeah, so no one signed up to be baptized, but we filled the tank and we're trusting that God's going to bring somebody. And I was sitting there in the pew next to Leanne. I was thinking, why would anyone do that? But then once communion wrapped around and Pastor Jamie was up there and explaining how the tank was there and anyone who felt compelled to be baptized should go across the stage, enter the back door and go up and find Tim. And for some reason that time, that second time that he was talking about it really hit me. It was one of those things where I knew that if I didn't go across stage and get baptized there and then, it was something I was going to regret. I knew God was speaking to me. When I got into the water, I didn't see the people in the crowd at all. I didn't, you know, I was shaking. I was so excited. And even now when I look at my baptism certificate on my wall, I still, you know, get the shake sometimes just to think about it, because it was a powerful demonstration of God's love for me in my own life at that time. And still, you know, there's a lot of big questions about my future I was struggling with, and I was really asking God, you know, God, I want my life to be for you. I want to know that I'm walking the path you've laid out for me, but, and I know you're here with me, but I feel like I can't hear your voice. I don't know that I can hear you. I don't know what's going on. And I was confused and frustrated. But then when God compelled me to get baptized, it was like a voice, and it was strong, and I couldn't ignore it. And then when it came out of the water, it was like God was saying to me, yeah, you know, I'm here, and you can hear my voice because you just did, and you just got baptized, even though you didn't want to. And it was a step along the path he was laying out for me. And that's still a huge encouragement to me now.
That's what we're trying to achieve when we go to make disciples. And you know what? If you're a follower of Jesus here today, you're a sent one. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's not a question. How good a light, how good a salt are you, is the question. But you are the light of the world. And when you leave these doors, when you go out into this city, the call in your life is to be a disciple who makes disciples, to see lives transformed like that. Because the only life worth living is the life lived in obedience to Jesus Christ. And there's a broken world dying because they don't know. But you do. So tell them. There is another baptism class next Sunday at 9:30 in the youth room. And you can let us know if you'll be there. We'd love to help you make that next step of obedience. I'm going to call the worship team up. Thank you for a great morning. Thank you for our speakers. Thank you for listening. And hopefully that brings some clarity to where our missions program is at and where we're going.